Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about what is your life made out of? What is your day-to-day existence? Is it really something that you're able to feel, I just can't wait to get up. I just love to experience my day. And at the end of the day, you say, it's time to shut my eyes. I just don't want to. Well, I can honestly tell you, 99.9% of the people do not have that existence. And that's really, truly what we're all looking for and seeking, is it not? So are we really living a life of illusion and dreams versus our reality and our existence? And how can they come together? Or maybe just a few pages of them. So many times people say, I need to go on an excursion. I need to go to some other place. I need to go somewhere and fix things and come back and bring all that knowledge with me in my little purse. Does it really work? You know, I see it sometimes, I've said so many times on this radio show before, women would go into yoga in the morning. They'd be rushing because they were late because they left their kids off. Then they come in, do their yoga. They go back out. And after they're leaving, they've got their cell phone going and they're yelling at their husband, trying to pull on their business clothes and shove down some kind of green drink in their car. What is the point? Are we doing things for the moment? Are we doing things for our life? We're learning how to live differently and be in harmony in some phase of our life. Today, my guest is Dr. Kimberly Kelly. Her book is The Road to Mana, Finding Healing, Happiness, and Power on the Road to Life. Dr. Kelly, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Aloha. Thank you so much. The pleasure is all mine.
Oh, Dr. Kelly, don't you think that it's truly about, what really is it about life? I think so many times people will say, but this is how I want it, and it's over there. And it's almost like a comic strip, and you're living your life over here. It's reality, and it's chaos. Don't you think that people are really going about it these days like that?
I do. I think we just live in such a stressful environment. And we have connection now with the globe all over the world. And in the past, we just haven't had that type of immediate connection. And I think sometimes we're in constant overload. It's too much information, and our brains, and we haven't figured out how to handle all of that information, and I think it bogs us down. It gets us away from the things that are easy and simple. And I think life can be easy and simple, but we've kind of gotten off our path a little bit. And that's one of the reasons why I wrote the book, The Road to Mana, because it is a journey and it does take time. But we have to give ourselves permission and allow ourselves time to kind of get back to what we know to be true, which is what is really in our hearts.
You know, I think sometimes people think that the road in their lifetime is their path, and their path is up a ladder to success, and it's accomplishments, mm-hmm. and it's what have you had in your peg route. And I think sometimes really where all of the inflammation, the chaos, the challenges, the weighting down, the burnout, is really that you're scrambling to take this label of what your success should be, and you're junking it in with all this information overload and all of these to-dos, and it's almost like it's an entity you want to sit on the thing and say, I'm done with you, go away. And I think we see this quite often where people are saying, I'm done with that. I'm a reformed attorney. I'm a reformed physician. I walked out of I'm no longer an accountant. Do you know what I mean? And now I cook food or I plant flowers, you know, where I walk in the grass and I pick up the garbage. I don't know. Don't you think?
I do. I think I can share my own small story about that. I knew at an early age that I wanted to help people, that I wanted to be a healer in essence. And for me, that long ago, that path meant going into medical school. So that's exactly what I did. And I was on that straight and narrow. I came back to my hometown to practice. I had married a physician, came back to practice, had children and all of those wonderful things. And in my mid-40s, I had all the trappings of a very successful individual. However, I was miserable. And it was at that time that I had a talk with the universe. And I said, hey, listen, you can have all of this. You promised me joy and peace and happiness. And I've got all of these things, these material things, the cars, the home, all of that, the practice that should dictate my happiness, but I'm miserable. You can have it. Take it all away. And
right.
You have to be careful. You have to be careful what you ask for, because sure enough,
right,
almost 2 years to the date, I found myself in Hawaii with just a couple suitcases and my two youngest children in tow, and we were starting again in a very new town, a new place. We didn't know anybody, but oh my goodness, I was as happy as I could be. I was just delighted, and that was my journey. And so I started again, but it was coming to Hawaii actually that gave me the peace and the joy, and it really in essence saved my life. I mean, I was living, but I was miserable. But now, you know, being able to enjoy life, going to the water, going to the beach, going to the ocean, going, you know, walking in nature, those things kind of soothing my soul, helping me to get back on purpose and to realize that, yes, I was in medicine, but I really wasn't practicing in the way that I wanted to. I was, for all intents and purposes, I was very robotic, very mechanical in how I was approaching my specialty. And that was, in a sense, breaking my heart if you look at it from a spiritual perspective. And so I had to step back. I had to step back, and I had to, in essence, reinvent myself. And so that's sort of my journey with writing the book and trying to get the message out in a different way. We all are healers. I think the universe has given us the innate ability to tap into ourselves and to heal ourselves, and not just heal ourselves, but some of us are gifted in ways that we can also help others. And so that's where I'm at in my life journey.
You know, I think also, too, there's times when we go on these paths and we say, but those were, people would say, oh, that was a mistake. I did it the wrong way. And I would say, absolutely not. I'd say, aren't there fabulous things that you've learned there? Because those things got you to a certain point, and now you just said, well, I'm flipping the coin over, and now we're going to go on this side of it. And that's not, many times people will say that's failure, that's shame, that's guilt, regrets. You know, they put all those negative labels on. When really, if you could see it as just another petal on the flower, and that's all of the experiences that you'll be having. So many times people will wish to cast out everything and say, I don't want to know any of that, and it's all gone away. And, you know, let's not call that back. You know, for myself, you know, with naturopathic medicine and all the healthcare work that I've done in 5 decades, I look back on it and I say, well, what purpose did it serve? And in dental hygiene, I looked into the eyes of over several hundred thousand of people, you know, over those decades, and that was its purpose. It wasn't all of the other blah, blah, blah about the profession. Then in open-heart surgery, you know, when I was in for many years, it was, what are you learning there? It was more, oh, look at the heart. Ooh, where is the spirit? Oh, my gosh, where did the soul go? It's almost like you're standing there looking around in the room, where did it go? Because you know it wasn't in the body. And then in naturopathic medicine, it's all about protocols. You have to do it this way. This is the right way. Ooh, didn't you go down the right way? And it's, we look at it, what is really healing all about? What is really knowing about living in life? And what is the journey about? I think the journey is way more important than the end result of a fix, a solution, or, you know, an answer, don't you?
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. And it's these lessons that you learn along the way. And those are so rich and valuable to you. And so I think we feel that we have to get it all at once, that we have to learn, that we can't make mistakes. But I try to live with no regrets. And if I go down a path, it's just a path. It may, you can call it a mistake, you can call it whatever you like, but it's just
right.
a lesson. And I'm learning from that lesson, and I'm continuing to grow and learn every single day. And I suppose when I live to be 100, I'll still be learning lessons. And so I embrace them, not
you know,
as a negative, but as a positive.
Right.
You know, I just
also
know a way not to do something. Well, that wasn't the way that I should have done it. Okay, well, then I'm going to go this other way. That probably is a little bit more beneficial.
Right, but also, too, I think we also are clamoring and learning how to live life. Then all of a sudden, you know, end of life comes, or the last quarter, or maybe your last few days with either a diagnosis or time ticking away. And really what I say, what are we doing then? Are we learning how to die? Are we learning how to expire? When really, if we could flip that coin and put the name of soul and spirit on it instead of a physical existence, what might we find so much different in our journey, right?
Oh, I absolutely agree.
It's a long road. Let's talk about your book for a second, Dr. Kelly. When you talk about it, mm-hmm. you know, you said about awareness right in the beginning. And when you talk about in your book, you know, going out into Hawaii and being able to be more aware of the world around you. In other words, you've stepped out of your day-to-day life, and now you're going to step into that magical kingdom, I like to call it. You know, it could be a retreat, it could be a spa, it could be a webinar, it could be your husband takes a vacation, or it could be you take a vacation. But it's always that other existence. And you say, I'm going to step into that, and I'm going to feel it with all of its, the smells, the taste, all of my senses are going to be alive, and then I will feel what it's supposed to feel like. But then you turn around and you get back on the bus or the subway or wherever you are, and you're going, well, holy crap, what now? Doesn't that lead you into a space of duality, don't you think so?
I think certainly it can. And that's why I think when you're in those moments and you're in those special places, I think you have to make sure that you embrace them and really kind of, yes, smell them and hear them and touch them, but try to put them in your heart. Try to put them in your awareness so that you can reach back. And so no matter where you are, you can still close your eyes and remember and reflect upon that which was so wonderful and that which brought you so much vitality and peace and joy. And so I think it's really where the heart is, and your heart is always with you. It doesn't matter the place necessarily. It's not really the place, but I think it's, you know, being able to close your eyes and go back and just remember that, you know, that recall, that memory recall. I think that's very important, because you're right. If you can go to Hawaii or any number of wonderful, fabulous destinations, but if you
right.
but if you just jump right back into your same environment, which oftentimes can be toxic,
mm-hmm.
then it's not going to be very, very beneficial. But when you go to those places, try to touch upon those things that you know, gave you peace and joy. And then when you go to some of these retreats, well, what tools are they giving you? What do you come back with? Can you come back with something, just a little technique, as simple as breathing? You know,
right.
when you're upset or when you're angry or when you're in the office and frustrated, well, can you just take a moment to become aware, just to remember, and then just, you know, focus on your breath? Can you begin to take those nice, deep, cleansing breaths and straighten your back and breathe a little deeper? Because those things, as you know, will affect your parasympathetic tone and decrease your heart rate, decrease your blood pressure, increase your oxygenation, and overall make you feel a little bit better. And then, you know, in terms of massage, well, how about, do we have some points on our fingers, on our hands that we can massage anywhere, no matter what situation we are? Can we, you know, just massage the palm of our hand? Will that give us some peace? We just need a second to kind of reset and where we were and where we need to be. And oftentimes, sometimes we reach for medication. Sometimes we reach
right.
for a nice glass of wine. I just need to relax. I need a glass of wine. And
Right.
Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. I mean, but if we can begin to empower ourselves once again with this knowledge that is there, it's innate knowledge. It's not outside of us. It's actually within us. And to embrace and not give away our own power to heal ourselves. And just simple techniques.
Well, I think also, too, what we're really talking about is how can you create your own sanctuary? Is it inside yourself? Is it a place?
Yes.
Is it a vacation? You know, I sometimes, I would always say to people, you know, they would say, I want to come to your office. And I say, I don't have an office. I come to you. And they would say, well, what does that mean? Right? And I would say, because that which you wish to heal is what you're hiding in your home or your workplace or whatever that is. And that's truly, sometimes you just need another other side of someone to be able to see what might be clogging up their thoughts. You know, if you've got to walk over laundry and you've got to push your way through dirty dishes and you have to, you know, be able to walk over the grass cutter in the high weeds to get to your car to go to work, well, already you've set yourself up for those things that are, quote, not done. And I think sometimes we look at it, we say, what really are we looking for? Are we looking to heal our physical body, clear our mind, or connect with our spirit? And I think sometimes when we diversify that and we say that I want one of those and we don't realize that they're all part of the whole, that's sometimes I think when we get a little disconnect. Once people start to put that together, don't you think it just really takes off from there?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, sometimes that clutter in your home is just a reflection of what's going on in your mind. And so if you can, I like that you don't have an office. Your office is actually the universe. Your office is all over. And so that way you're not pigeonholed. And I think that's exciting.
I think also, too, the idea is that if we're able to connect with others at the place that they are, you know, and you share in your book, you know, the book, The Road to Mana, it's about tell your story. And it's truly about how can we connect where you are. Sometimes it takes people quite a while to be able to tell their story, and they seem to get cut off. You know, when you come to the doctor, you get 3 minutes, or you go to your friends, and they'll give you maybe 10 minutes, or you'll go to a loved one, and they might give you like 20 minutes. But that's about it. And really, your story that you're getting, trying to get out is, people say, oh, you're dumping it on me. Oh, you're doing this. Oh, you're doing that. But really, in essence, when you verbalize it and say it outward, it's so yourself can actually hear it. So that others, you know, sometimes people need to be seen and heard. Sometimes they also, in reflection, once someone is seen and heard, then they are able to say, I now can see what that looks like. So now I can see and hear myself. So I think sometimes when we go out there, we say, we're looking for all of these answers out there, and we tell our story because we want them to fix us. Do you think sometimes that's when they get stuck?
I do. I agree with you 100%. You know, Maya Angelou said, there is no greater agony than burying an untold story inside of you. And I'll take that one step further to say, there's no greater agony than letting an untold story bury you.
Right.
And by that, I mean, you're correct. We all have stories that we need to tell and need to share. And how many times, like you say, do we get cut off or we don't have an opportunity to share and tell those stories? And we do need to verbalize and hear ourselves speak our truth. And that's kind of where our healing begins, because if we don't unpack, if we don't begin to kind of dig a little deeper into what really is going on, there can be no healing. There can be no joy or no wellness. And a lot of these challenges and issues kind of go back to our childhoods. And as children, we kind of, when situations happen to us, we're very creative as children, very imaginative, and we make up stories. And those stories may or may not be the truth. It's true, but it may not be the truth. It's your truth. But if we don't unpack them correctly, as adults, we tend to hold on to that same story. And it may not be the truth at all, but if we don't have someone to talk to, sometimes it can be a counselor, a good friend, to just kind of help us go through that. And then we continue to stay stuck. And I think that's kind of where we don't have an opportunity to grow and get better and feel better.
And also, too, I think if we look at those of us who are over the age of 50 are really unpacking a lot of the stories that came post-war. People who grew up in the 40s, 50s, and 60s are really benefiting, they're really the result of parents who really were in their 30s and 40s, 1930s and 1940s, grew up in a lot of strife and a lot of hardship. So if we look at it, we're almost expecting all of the people that are here on this earth now, and we see we're living longer, you know. So really, the stories of strife and hardship are still existing on the earth plane. But yet, if you talk to a younger child, they have no idea what that actually means. You know, it doesn't correlate with their experience. So I think sometimes when we say we live to live longer, I almost say, can we cut off the tape somewhere? You know, can we just like take an axe and just cut that tape in half? Because we don't want to keep carrying all of that. Do you know what I mean? But somehow it has to play out. It has to come out. It has to eke out. We see cancers increasing, chronic disease, tons of labels, you know, and I almost see that sometimes as what is the storage of your vessel? You know, can you cut it away? Can you let it go? And sometimes people say, no, I'm going to hold on to it till the day I die. That secret will never go. Don't you think that's sometimes where the detriment of physical body, mind, and spirit end up?
Oh, definitely, definitely. You know, there was a study years ago in the 90s, and it was called the Adverse Childhood Event Study. And they looked and found that if you had a dysfunctional family or had some, again, some trauma during your childhood years, any type of adverse childhood event, those things led to cognitive dysfunction, led to changes in your neural development, and actually affected your overall lifespan. So those stories that sometimes I know in my family, it's like whatever happens in this house, you better not tell.
Right, right.
And I can remember that clearly. But all of that drama and trauma, that baggage that you have to kind of, you have to weed through and weed out and get through, it's like a splinter. And it's in there. And if you don't, it will continue to cause dis-ease, which is disease. And so the cancers, you know, the things that are, I want to say on a physiological level or physical level, are eating at our bodies. It's really beyond that. It's really on an emotional level. Those things that we haven't dealt with that are eating at our spirits and our hearts. And that's the thing that I think is most challenging. I had an experience once. I do anesthesia as a living, and I make a living helping the surgeon to make sure the patient's very, very comfortable so that they can do the surgery and do the procedure. And I also do pain management. And oftentimes I'm consulted to do patients who are very, very difficult, who no one else can help. Medicine isn't helping. And so I went to see this lady, and oh, my God, she had cancer and all sorts of things. And so I usually do something a little different. And so I bought out some essential oil, and I said, well, which one of these speak to you? And it was an essential oil blend. And I said, just close your eyes, let's play the game, blah, blah, blah. And so she did, and she picked out one that was very, very pleasing to her. And another one was just like, oh, no, I don't like that, I don't like that. I'm like, okay, well, then let's just put this one on. This will, you know, help, you know, clear up some of your channels and whatnot. And she asked me, so which one didn't I like? Which one was most repulsive? And I said, you sure you want to know? She said, yeah. And it was the one about forgiveness.
Yes.
And this lady had gone through her entire adult life in unforgiveness. She had been a victim of some childhood molestation. She had had a very abusive relationship with her husband that she was actually in the ministry. But yet she hadn't resolved these things. And when I shared with her, this is how you truly heal, then her whole life began to turn around. And it was just something as simple as showing her, putting a mirror into her face so that she could truly see, but doing it in another way. It's not the medication that I can give you that can help you heal. It's not. I mean, in a way it is, but truly it's not. It's what you have, the energy, you have the ability within yourself, if we can just show you how, or if you'll just be open and receptive. So, you know, telling the stories, telling the truth, facing those truths, and getting the, you know, the proper counseling that you need to realize that it wasn't your fault. Oftentimes you were just a victim. You were just a child. You had no idea. And, the shame and the guilt, you can't live with that all your life. You've got to dig down deep in the soil of your soul and get that out so that you can begin to live again.
But really it's also, too, about coming into your own power. I think sometimes when you take these vacations, you take these times away, you even if you're in a big city, you go and you have meditation session or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's about bringing and increasing your own power. And somehow people say, well, I feel lighter. I feel better when I walk out. Really, if we look at it, that's your expansiveness. How is your inner part expanding out? You know, it's so funny because for about probably the last few decades, I would have people that would say to me random times, they would say, oh, it's time to, you want to breathe in the light from above and bring it into your spirit. And I'd say, dude, no way. My heart already has it. Get out of the way. And they could never understand this. And I was like, I was just like, you know, because they would believe that power came from outside. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I was like, no, I'm not bringing it anything in. I am, you know, just shining out. And they could not understand that. I think in a lot of spiritual, you know, gurus right now are still on that same pony about bringing it in. But if you bring it in, that's a way of solutionizing that something's broken. If you really reflect it out, you're saying you have the power to self-heal, to self-be, to self-radiate, to self-nourish, all those things. So I think what we're really talking about today is how can you take your existence that you're doing today and see, are you coming from outside or are you coming from growing from the inside? And that is a big difference because sometimes the outside in will just end up creating more of the labels that you've said, I need 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and when you get them, then all boom, you know, it's like Jack in the Box will pop up and you're going to be a label, you know, you know what I mean? And then everything's going to be good and your life will, quote, work. But in essence, if it comes from inside, it doesn't matter if there's holes in the road or the road goes the wrong way or it goes up and down or if you have a flood or a disaster, an event or a childhood event, it doesn't matter. Because it's just about how you're going along that radiation journey, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Now, one of our mottos is to be well within, and I agree with you 100% in that we have given our power away to this, to another entity. You give it away to the doctor, you give it away to the nurse, you give your power away, but we have to take our power back. And I think we have to realize that we're emboldened and we can heal ourselves. We can, if we know how. You know, but we have to be well within, you know, healing the inner self first. And I think that is where it begins. Mm-hmm.
I work a lot with people with abuse, too, and because they've had all of those childhood event things. And I think they missed a few, so they could add a few more. But anyway, I also talk about it is with women with domestic abuse, and they say, well, it's a real consistent thought that you're supposed to go out there and say, okay, it's time. Stand up. Get your power back. And I'll say, I don't want to get my power back from him. It's already been tainted, dirty, and disgusting.
Right.
You know,
right.
He can have whatever he thinks he has. And I want to have my own, and that's exactly what I say, grow from inside. Because truly, do you want tainted power from the outside in again? And the answer is no. You know, create your own power from the spark. Because I think sometimes people will say, well, I'm going to take it from him. And it's almost like a revenge or like a demon kind of entity. Do you know what I'm saying? You almost look at it as like, I'm going to get you. Here I come. I'm looking for my power back, you know. And it's, you know, you look at it and you go, I don't think so. So I think the idea, too, is that there are no rights and wrongs. There is no left and right. truly about experiencing it. So if you're in that place and you're sick and you say, well, I must have been collecting all of these wrongs behind me, fantastic. Look at all the wrongs and say, yay, it's wrong. Yay, it's wrong. And then say, yay, it's going to be good. And then go to the other side. It's sort of, can you take the responsibility and enjoy it irregardless of how it seems to present?
That's right. And you're taking the power and taking ownership and getting finding that strength from within, not getting it from somebody else or something else, finding it within. And that's sometimes easier said than done, but I think when we can do it collectively, if you can, I think the best healing, sometimes we talk about healing in terms of nutrition and how do we feed our bodies and those kinds of things. And that's one thing to feed your body, you know, the five food groups, the whole food, plant-based, that's one thing to feed your body, but how do you feed your soul? I think that's really what we need to look at as women sometimes. How do we feed our soul? And the way we feed our soul is with relationships and friendships and companionships and community. Those are the ways that we feed our soul. I remember when I was a little girl, I would play outside all day. I never got hungry. And my mom would call me in to eat, and I was like, oh, I don't want to eat. And I'd run in and eat really, really fast, and then I'd go out and play because I was being nourished. My soul on every level was being nourished by my friends and my companions. And I think those are the things that we sometimes forget about in our busy, busy world, our busy, busy society, that we can have those types of relationships, and those are the things that are more meaningful than anything. I mean, you can eat all the kale and broccoli you want, but your life won't have the vitality and value that you could have if you have these relationships and friendships and companionships. We're not meant to be alone.
You know, I look at it, and also, too, we talk about nourishing body and spirit and soul. And sometimes we say when we are bringing something into us, like with nourishment or relationships or energy or nature or whatever that might be, are we using it, bringing it in? It's nourishing it. Our body is able to metabolize it. It's able to utilize it. It's able to process it. And then you're ready for the next moment. I think that's really what we're talking about. How can you phase through things and be in engagement with them versus are you trying to bring all those things in and they're just trying to fill a hole? In other words, you can go all the meditation you want, but if you're trying to fill a pail inside of you that's got a hole in the bottom, you're going nowhere. Do you know what I mean? And it's almost like it's just not taking it on. But if you turn around and you say, well, I'm going to do yoga because so-and-so said it works. And, you know, with that whole idea of what does it fix? You know, I have an acquaintance, and I had said to him, I wanted him to go get this herb for me. And he says, well, what is it going to do? I said, I have no idea what it's going to do in your essence. I just know that it's showing up in mine, and I want to engage with it and see what, you know, experience all of it. And, you know, that's my end. And, yes, I know I'm on the other end, but, however, that's what I truly do versus saying, let's just, someone told me to take it. Someone told me to do it, and it's going to plug the hole in the pail. It's going to fix me, and then everything's going to be great. Don't you think that's really the quest sometimes?
I do. And just being open, I guess that would be one of the keys. If you're feeling that you're needing a certain herb or a certain essential oil or certain tea, I guess that goes back to that awareness of being open and being aware that this is what my body needs. My body may not need yoga today. My body needs to just relax and just take a walk. My body maybe just need me to stretch outside in my yard. But, you know, being open and aware and accepting of your own gifts and talents that you can bring to the table if you listen to your body, which sounds like obviously that's what you do all the time, and try to share with others. And how can we make others more aware, though? How can we do that?
Yeah. And that's definitely the challenge these days, don't you think? Mm-hmm. I think that sometimes we say, how can we share how to be in this world and touch every petal, you know, look at every flower. You know what I had mentioned? I have probably about 60,000 maybe photos on my cell phone. And people would say to me all the time, well, you're crazy. What's that all about? And I'd say, oh, I just take pictures of the sun and nature and things like mm-hmm. that. And, you know, people will say when you post them, oh, you need to put a filter on that. It's not perfect. It looks fuzzy. It looks fuzzy because it's radiating energy, sweetheart. Or I will turn around and I will put a flower that might be drooping and turning a little brown. And they say, why are you posting a dying flower? Don't you think when we look at ourselves in nature and ourselves as humans, we say, are we only looking at ourselves as the pinnacle and we can't look at ourselves in our life cycle? You know, it's hard to look at people in a life cycle because we could say they're mean and they're crass today. That's part of their life cycle. Okay, they're dying. That's part of their life cycle. They are a baby, and oh my gosh, let me smell all the babies all the time, you know, and that kind of thing. Well, that's part of a life cycle too. So don't you think that really truly the idea is living a life through the life cycle, but being engaged at all times is really our ultimate quest, I think, that sometimes it seems so far away, don't you think?
Oh, I like the way that you put that. I think in that just lends itself to me to being mindful, that whole notion of being mindful and being aware of your present moment. And we are all going to die. No one's going to get out of this one alive. And so embracing different stages of our careers, different stages of our lives. And yes, maybe the flower was dying, but that's a part of it. And
right.
Embracing the death as well as the life. I mean, it's a complete cycle.
You know, many times people would say to me, if you maybe render a diagnosis or whatever, many decades ago I used to do that, and they would say, oh my gosh, they would feel devastated. And I'll say, yahoo, you've been searching for this label for a long time. You've been going to 20 doctors. You've been going around telling everybody your symptoms, and they couldn't find it. And now I'm going to give you a label. Here's your label. You should be thrilled. You should be happy you've got a label. Now, what are you going to do? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's
the ball
and then
back
sometimes,
in the corner.
Yeah, and then sometimes the answer is, well, I have to get rid of it now. Well, you've been carrying it all along, and now you want to get rid of it. So, now, when I talk to clients now, we don't even go down the diagnosis route. We don't go down treatment route. We go down, oh, well, you know, I'm feeling super. I might have just 2 days. I'll say, fantastic. What do you want to do today then? You know, the answer isn't mm-hmm. about tomorrow or next week or the future.
No.
The answer is about today.
Today.
And I think that's truly what you talk about also, you know, in your book, The Road to Mana, is really about what is today and breathe it in for today. Make that moment for today. If today's all you have, well, this is it. This is what you'll do. This is what you'll cherish. This is that moment. But believe me, when it comes to tomorrow, yesterday's already gone. People forget, you know, I think there's two classes a kid should always have to take. One is quantum physics and the other is chemistry.
My.
You know, you need
oh
to learn
goodness.
How to you need to learn how to be an alchemist, and you need to learn that there's something more out there besides yourself. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, that's true. Oh yes, absolutely. Yes. I like that. And you know, you're right. Today is all that you have. Every moment, this moment, because tomorrow's not promised. I mean, we act like it is.
Yeah.
We'll do this and that tomorrow, but the only time you have is right here, the moment that we're experiencing right now. Quantum physics, that's what you recommended?
Oh, gosh, yes. You know, with quantum physics, it's so interesting, you know. And people say, really, quantum physics is all about once the moment you perceive it, people are calling that the present. There is no such mm-hmm. thing as the present, because once you perceive it and perceptualize it, it's already the past.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they're going, huh? And it's sort of like, yeah. But if you can live from that spot, then you don't store up all the past as if it creates the future. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you could say it's already gone, it's already gone, it's already gone. My 60,000 pictures, I could have 20,000 of the sun, and I can guarantee you, you can never overlay one over the other. It's never the same. So really, that's a really great conceptual idea to say nothing is ever the same. They may be similar, but they're not the same.
Never the same. Always changing, ever fresh, ever new, ever evolving.
And don't you think that's really what the path of life is about?
It is. It is. I think we're always growing. We are always experimenting. We're always looking at life with fresh, new eyes and getting in touch with ourselves. And I think that's the key.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Kelly, it was a pleasure to have you with us today to talk about this, because I think many times people will say, I want one path, I want one road. It's going to get this existence or this thing that seems to want to hang around in my body or mind, and I'm going to kick it to the curb, and then everything's going to be great. If we really experience everything in its fullness, then we can just be present. You know, sometimes people say, when I go, I want to go to a great place. I want to go to the holy place, and I will be saved.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go like where you live in Hawaii, you know, and say, oh, my gosh, I'm going to be healthier as skin, you know. I'm going to be healthy as everything. Well, you know, people get cancer in, you know, Hawaii, too, you know. And the idea, you know, I'm going to go up and I'm going to live forever like the Eskimos because they're so cold up there. And, well, they die pretty young there, too. So the you know, and I think, don't you think, let's be real here and say it's all a journey no matter where you are?
It is all a journey no matter where you are. Plant your feet where you are. Live where you are. Enjoy life every moment. Be well within.
Yeah, it's truly take many of our tips today and say, you know, meditation, yoga, eating better, being able to touch the ground and able to say, you know, I think I want to be open to something else. You know, if you have a lot of laundry and you're climbing over it to run out to work, well, find a room, throw all the laundry in there and shut the door, right?
I think we have to be kind to ourselves one step at a time.
Right.
One step at a time. You know, don't try to run the marathon. Just maybe try walking around the block and just be consistent. Just be consistent in that and you'll see change.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Kelly, can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about you? That would be wonderful.
Oh, absolutely. Please go to our website, www.corewellnesshawaii.com. That's where you'll find us. Or you can email me at Kim, K-I-M, at core, C-O-R-E, wellnesshawaii.com. And I look forward to hearing from you real soon.
Well, it was such a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Dr. J. The pleasure is all mine.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. If you'd like to find out more information about Dr. Kimberly Kelly, again, the book is The Road to Mana, Finding Healing, Happiness, and Power on the Road to Life. Please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page and you'll find more information. And it truly is, no matter where you are, it's okay, it's a pothole. Okay, it's, you know, you're at the top of the peak. Okay, you're hanging over the edge. All right, experience it, enjoy it, be with it, and know that tomorrow, just as in quantum physics, this moment already is the past. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Till tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discuss many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.